Lunch Rush, 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. I take a look at some of the top stories trending nationally. There was a lot. We'll start with this one. The Odell Beckham Jr. thing, man. This is a crazy story. He was removed from a flight at Miami International Airport on Sunday after police said he was in and out of consciousness, which isn't everyone on a flight.
That's me right now.
It's most of the time, man. He refused to leave the airplane when asked, according to the airport. Odell's attorney, Danielle Davillier, disputed that account, saying his client had been sleeping and that the incident was the result of an overzealous flight attendant. According to the statement from Miami-Dade Police Department, officers were called to the airport for a medical emergency after the flight crew expressed concern that Beckham was seriously ill. Police said the airplane was evacuated and that Beckham ultimately got off the plane and was asked by officers. This is weird, dude. Beckham's lawyer released a statement saying the entire incident was completely unnecessary. At no time was Mr. Beckham disruptive or combative. I saw Odell's Twitter. He tweeted out like this was one of the most bizarre things that's ever happened to him. He said, never in my life have I experienced what just happened to me. I've seen it all. He called the situation comedy hour. I'm sure more is going to come out on this one.
Giving the state of a lot of our airlines, yeah. I'm gonna agree with Odell Beckham.
Yeah, probably. It just sounds like it. There were people that were watching that recognized him and said he just kind of was quiet. He didn't do anything out of the ordinary. It wasn't nuts. I mean, just weird. Mike Rhule is now the Nebraska head football coach. You're a big Nebraska guy, or a big Nebraska hater, I should say, Michael.
Bring back Scott Frost.
Matt Rhule, he could be pretty good, though. I mean, he failed as a college coach, but he was pretty successful, or as an NFL coach, excuse me. He was pretty successful during his stints at Baylor and Temple. He's supposed to have his news conference today, but they signed him to an 8-year contract.
Bring back Scott Frost.
Like, who signs somebody to an 8-year contract now? Are we learning anything? Like, I get it. Matt Rhule, he was legit. But you want to sign guys to 8-year contracts?
Don't say that. The Broncos will sign somebody to an 8-year contract.
Man. Cover your ears, Michael. Josh Jacobs caps a 300-yard game with another walk-off touchdown in overtime. Devonta Adams did it last week against the Broncos. Josh Jacobs did it again. The Raiders were down. They go and force overtime. They're driving. Seattle gets a stop. Then Seattle's driving. Oh, then the Raiders get the stop. And then they get this opportunity. Oh, but you probably didn't see it. Because you know when they do their overtime games, their extra stuff, CBS wouldn't punt the start of 60 minutes to see Raiders Seahawks in overtime. Ratings must be killing it for 60 minutes. It's an hour-long show, right?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that was weird. Packers. Aaron Rodgers. Is he done? He exited the Eagles game with a rib injury. He was concerned maybe it could be. He wanted to make sure it wasn't a punctured lung or anything like that. Jordan Love came in. I just like when Jordan Love stands next to Jalen Hurts. That's my favorite thing. Left to right, Love Hurts. That is something we need to get behind and make sure that happens more often than not. So I'm for Jordan Love taking over as the quarterback if we can see more pictures of those two standing side by side, left to right, back.
What if Love gets hurt? Love Hurts.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's very good. Aaron Rodgers, is he done? He's got to be done for the year. There's no sense in playing him. See what you got in Jordan Love once and for all here. And then see what life is like without Rodgers. Just kind of get used to it. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. And finally, USC. Did you watch that USC game, Michael? I know you were paying a little attention to it. They jumped up into the top 4. Michigan beating Ohio State. Boy, That game was weird because I thought Ohio State was going to run away at the beginning. Like, it was just, it seemed easy for them to move up the field. And then Michigan, they hadn't had, like, how many? They didn't have hardly any. I don't think they had any passing plays, scoring plays, for over, like, 45 yards. And they had, like, three or four of them in this game.
They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't run the ball in the first half.
It's their M.O.
Yeah, I was watching the game, and most of the game, and Ohio State was playing very well on defense. Now, I don't know how many people I said this to. I thought that the 8-point spread was very disrespectful. I'm like, no 8-point spread on this.
Because it was Michigan was
an 8. Drunk.
Michigan was an 8-point dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
And Ohio State, to start the game, you just kind of felt like, oh, this is easy for them. They went 10-3 at the end of the first. But after that, Michigan controlled this thing. And J.J. McCarthy, there was quarterback controversy early in the season. Look at him go. 263 yards and three touchdowns, but he had Donovan Edwards. He hit for an 85-yarder, a 75-yarder. Cornelius Johnson got a 70-yarder. Colston Loveland got a 45-yarder. I mean, these were some big gains, and then they did have finally the big run by Donovan Edwards too. So
this is
finally
a game
got
that,
it all going.
This is a game that gets someone fired. Somebody gets fired.
Mm.
Somebody in Ohio State gets fired. Some kind of assistant coach is going to get fired.
That's fine. That's
USC can't lose like this.
USC's at the top four. Michigan up to two. I mean, so it's Michigan moved up to two. TCU sitting at three. USC's at four behind Georgia. How's that grab you? Fun? Good matchups? We'll see how it all shakes out, of course. But
I don't know about USC at four, but they're pretty good. I'm disappointed that Tennessee is not in it because I've been on the down low rooting for Tennessee to be in the.
Well, they're probably out now.
They lost their quarterback, didn't they?
Who? Yeah, and we've got championship weekend this weekend, right? So there's still chances for movement here.
Yeah, and USC is going to take care of Utah. I forgot Washington isn't eligible for whatever reason. I forgot.
They're not eligible for a bowl game? Did they do something silly?
I think they're not eligible for the championship or something. I don't recall why. But it's kind of a – you know what? They beat the Ducks, and they beat Washington State, and that's what I truly care about in the season. You beat those two teams.
I'm just looking at some of the matchups this weekend.
It's like the Broncos beating the Raiders and the Chiefs. Yeah, you may not have a good season, but if you beat those two, life is better.
Georgia has, let's see. Just look, Georgia and LSU. So that'll be, this is a championship weekend. Should be fun. Should be a good time.
Usually a good time. You don't have Alabama in it this year, do you?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just nuts.
I hate it when Auburn Alabama is a blowout. That's always a good rivalry, but when it's a blowout like that, college football is starting to become less entertaining because getting rid of all these conferences, all these rivalries, and I think it started off with one of the biggest rivalries being split up when Nebraska left. Nebraska and Oklahoma.
We just hopped around and we moved conferences around and we haven't learned our lesson. We just keep doing the same thing. We're just going to keep moving these teams around. And I just think it's ridiculous, the idea that teams can just willy-nilly up and leave their conference. And that's just why college football is such a fractured business. I mean, can you imagine if this was how the NFL was ran? That if Kansas City just said, you know what, we want to move to a different division. That would be weird. And I get it. College sports, it's way different. But the idea that you can just up and leave is absurd to me. There should be a process. Like, you got to put in, if you want to do it, great. But it's like the old transfer portal rules. You got to put in the request. It's got to be approved. And then you're not eligible for bowl games and playoffs
for
5 years or whatever. So then you're not really as willing to leave. Because that's going to set us back 5 years.
And you know, if CU leaves, who cares? Honestly, they don't have a rivalry.
I don't think that they should have any. It's weird. Yeah, they don't. They've never developed rivalry
because
you got to be good.
Now, they're Colorado teams, and I love Colorado, but they don't really have big rivalries. Yeah, I know
CSU
you guys are
does.
CSU, Wyoming.
Yeah, that's
no.
a real rivalry. Just because you're
that's
a snob.
That's not that big of a rivalry.
Just because you're a snob and it's your Pac-12, that's a real that's a fun rivalry for this area. And if both of those teams can start being good
for
at
this
the same
area.
Time, then that will become a better game.
I'm talking about nationwide rivalries. Even the Pac-12 doesn't have really big nationwide rivalries.
It's because you have to have the top teams be good at the right at the same time, and then when they're battling each other, the games make sense. If CSU and Wyoming are playing for a chance to go to the top of the Mountain West Mountain and play in the conference championship game, then that game really means a lot more.
And yet people in Florida, people in New York, people in L.A. just don't care.
But do you think people care nationally about Boise State and Fresno State? That's the Mountain West Conference Championship game.
Nope.
You don't think they care? I think they do.
Nope.
I think some do. Football fans care.
They will care if it's really important. But if look, Oklahoma and Nebraska could be out of the top 25, and people would still watch it because it's Oklahoma and Nebraska, and they hate each other.
I'll be watching Fresno State Boise. I think it's Friday night. Am I wrong on that?
It's so regional.
Yeah, it's Friday night.
Even the teams that I like are so regional. The only really good, one of the only very good rivalries that people will watch that's a Pac-12 rivalry, USC and Notre Dame.
I want to shout out to No Limit Collectibles. Appreciate all that they do. Christmas time is coming up. We're past Thanksgiving. Blare up that Christmas music and let's go. Stop by No Limit Collectibles. There you're going to find all your Christmas needs and wants and dreams. I'm telling you, get that sports fan in your life hooked up at No Limit Collectibles. 17 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. Benjamin Albright, KOA Broncos Insider, going to join me next. More Broncos talk on the other side. It's the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-two minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining us now on our First Advantage Hotline, Broncos insider for KOA, Benjamin Albright. I've had the honor to sit in with Benjamin a few programs down in Denver, so that was cool building up the connection. And dude, appreciate you jumping on with us today, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely, man. For you anytime.
All right. So it's getting bad, dude. It's just getting really rough for this Broncos team. But I'm looking at the clock, 12:23, Benjamin. I'm guessing Nathaniel Hackett's got at least another week in him with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I think so. We got the notification yesterday evening that the media sessions this week with the head coach were going to be on as scheduled. So unless something changed or a directive was handed down today, which I'm not aware of, then he's going to be safe for another week. And at this point, you know, you're kind of at the point where it doesn't matter. You know, if you fire him right now, yeah, it satiates some fans' emotions. But in reality, is it changing anything? This team's not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to win out. And there's not really any benefit per se. You're just adding a job title to somebody else for the remainder of the season. So I feel like at this point, it's almost not even beneficial to, you know, to fire the guy midseason. I think you should probably just wait till the end of the year, say, hey, look, you know, Nate, we thank you kindly for trying, but, you know, we have a certain standard here you weren't able to meet, and we're gonna find someone who's able to meet that, but we appreciate your efforts and move on.
What's the percentage chance that he remains as the Broncos coach at the end of the season? I mean, where would you put that at this point?
For a second season?
Yeah.
Whatever the closest number to zero is without actually being zero.
So, like, there's no, like, miraculous, oh, well, they beat Baltimore. Okay, I say this every week. That's not happening. So he's gone. I think we're all pretty sure about that at this stage. Let me ask you about Russell Wilson, Benjamin. And you've covered this team. You've covered a lot of football. I look at Russ and I go, how did he hit this wall so quickly? Even last year, I know it was a down year with Seattle. but his numbers were still much better. I'm still one of those guys, dude, that I just refuse to believe that he got that bad overnight. Is Russell Wilson just a product of the injuries, the coaching surrounding him? What is it about the guy?
Well, the short answer is yes. It's a product of all of it. I think the combination of the fact that the Seattle wide receivers are vastly underrated. I think that, he's learning a new system that really just does not play to his strengths. They tried to hybrid that system and bring in a couple of concepts he likes and mishmash that with what Nathaniel Hackett wants to do, and they're just not a fit for each other, which can be tough. You know, it's tough at the NFL level for two guys that are they've been at the top of their game to sit there and set ego aside and say, well, you know, what I do with this guy, we just can't make it work, you know? And so I think if you're Nathaniel Hackett, you either needed to pull the plug a couple of weeks ago and say, all right, look, we're just going to find out what Russell Wilson can do. We're going to do that. We're going to go back to 2020. We're going to take Brian Schottenheimer's playbook, and we're just going to run that. And they just didn't do that. And so they kept doing square peg, round hole stuff. And at the end of it, you've got an offensive line that can't protect Russ. You've got an offense that's designed for deep developing plays that doesn't, you know, the offense has to protect for. You got receivers that aren't getting open. The quarterback that isn't seeing it. And I think that's the frustration is that there's not any one thing to just pin it on. It's so many things wrong at the same time. That's what's so exasperating.
I think you're exactly right. It's hard to just say, well, it's the coach. But then again, there's all these injuries, especially on the offensive line. But then again, when Russ does have some openings, he's not hitting those either. So it's just been a culmination of all of those things that you mentioned, which is why it's getting so frustrating for these Broncos fans. How is the locker room at this point? Every week we could probably ask you the locker room update, the locker room status. You saw Purcell, Russell Wilson got a little heated there on the sidelines. Is this defense, are they starting to get to that breaking point where it's like, man, we're, other than Sunday, you know, we're putting out great output every single week and we finally had enough?
I don't think so. I think the locker room's actually in pretty good shape. I think relative to the way you see fans melting down on social media and stuff, the locker room's actually more or less fine. It's difficult not to like Nathaniel Hackett. He's an emotional guy. He's a friendly guy. And the players like him. So, you know, I think there's that. As far as the locker room splintering or anything, I know we all saw Purcell stuff on TV, but Purcell and Russell said that was a nothing burger, you know, that Purcell was mad that he got the flag. He came over there and said, you know, was trying to fire Russ up and said, we need to get some bleeping points. Russell's like, okay, I got you, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what they say. That's how they sit down. I mean, it could be spin, but, you know, at the same time, both of them are on the same page about it. So I tend to believe them. Do I think defense is tired of carrying the offense? Sure. Do I think that, you know, the team is tired of losing? Absolutely. But do I think that there's any internal strife going on right now? I don't believe that.
Well, and you, of course, you're talking to these players on a daily basis, on a weekly basis for your program and just throughout the day, too. So, I mean, I guess that's encouraging when you look at it. But at the end of the day, when you look forward at this team and what's next for George Payton, and I know they got to get through this season, but I'm sure in the back of his brain or maybe in the front of his brain, he's already putting together, you know, ideas of potential head coaches that he's going to contact. What are you hearing in your circles? Are we there at that point yet, or is it too soon in the game now that, you know, we still got a few weeks left in the season?
I think that you always, as a general manager, kind of have a short list of guys that you're looking at for the future, just in case you ever need that short list. I think that there's, you know, there are names on that. I think that some of those names are guys that we saw get interviewed in the last cycle. Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator of the Eagles. Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys. And I think that would be the front runner, would be Dan Quinn. Quinn would probably bring Brian Schottenheimer with him. Schottenheimer is a consultant with the Cowboys right now. And he famously was the architect of the Let Russ Cook, you know, early 2020 season before Pete Carroll put the shackles on that because they were scoring too fast and the defense was too tired. I think that's a possibility. The thing that you're going to have to frame all this through at the end of the day is you're tied to Russell Wilson until 2024, 2025 because of the cap hit, the dead cap hit from cutting or trading him either way. So you're going to have to build around him, and you're going to have to find somebody that can work with him either way. And so I think if you're going to look at candidates or look at a short list group of names, you need to find people that are willing to work with Russell Wilson and do what Russ wants to do, because that ultimately is what you're going to be doing either way.
Benjamin Albright joining us, Broncos insider for KOA. Benjamin, I hate even asking this because it's so unrealistic, because people, you know, they say, man, you are stuck. This is the situation. They extended Russell Wilson's contract. What, for our listeners out there, what does that look like? When is there a potential chance of, if the Broncos finally see enough, you have to take a major hit and swallow everything and move on from Russ? Like, what is it going to take to get to that point, and what would that ultimately do for the Broncos franchise?
Well, there's really no way to do that. I mean, there's a financial way you can kind of do that after the 2023 season. I retweeted an article that a friend of mine from Over the Cap wrote, and you can go to my Twitter timeline, Albright NFL, and read that if you want, and it explains it in detail. But there's really just not a financial way to be able to do that until 2025. I mean, there are some ways you can do that, but you're going to hamstring the franchise. As it sits, so much of Russell Wilson's contract is guaranteed that you have $107 million in dead cap any which way you slice it. So you can't even field a football team with that. And the Broncos, as it is, are going to be about $20 million under the cap for next season, but you've got extensions you need to sign with guys like Draymond Jones, Dalton Risner, and things like that. So that's really a phony number. As far as making the move, I mean, I think you're pretty much tied him to 2025. There's kind of an out after the 2024 season, or the 2023 season rather, if you use a post June 1 designation, but you're taking two huge cap hits, dead cap hits, over the course of two seasons and spreading it out, and it's just not something that's realistically done in the NFL.
You mentioned a couple of guys on that list, and I think that Broncos fans just kind of have to absorb that with Russell Wilson, for better or worse. I think you're 100% right. He's here to stay. You might as well try to pick his brain and figure out what's going to work around him. You mentioned Draymond Jones, Dalton Risner. What's the likelihood, at least at this stage, that both of those guys will be back next year?
I think Draymond's pretty likely. Dalton Risner, it really just depends on what he wants in terms of contract. I think they're going to try to hometown discount him. I don't think they think necessarily he's as a high a priority as maybe some of the fans do. They haven't liked some of the tape that he's put out there at times where he's just kind of on the ground. So I think he's one that's a question mark. The other thing is, you've got some guys that are underwater on their contracts. You know, Ronald Darby, Garrett Bowles, guys like that will be underwater on their contracts the next go round. So they'll either need to restructure or they'll probably get traded. So there's going to be a shakeup along the offensive line. The only guy I would guarantee will be back on that offensive line would be Quinn Meinerz at right guard.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure offensive line is going to be a point of emphasis this offseason. They somehow did find a way with the Bradley Chubb trade to get a first-round pick, albeit San Francisco's first-round pick. But what's that? Oh, Miami, San Francisco. That's got to be it, though, right? I mean, offensive line is what you're looking at 100%. Or are there other key positions that you look at and say, if the right guy comes available, they might go that direction?
Well, I think you've always got to be able to adjust on the fly and evaluate and look and see if some great talent falls down into your lap. I mean, you kind of got to be flexible about that. But they definitely have their eye on offensive tackle, and I would suggest that Paris Johnson of Ohio State, or you know, the kid from Northwestern, would be at the top of that list. But you know, if a great corner falls there, or you know, a great receiver falls there, you got to take a look at it at least. I think they could use another infusion of speed with the receivers. Jalen Virgil, they're not using him right now. KJ Hamler's been injured. They just don't have anybody else that takes the top off. So, you know, right now I think that's something you got to kind of keep your eye on. If an elite talent there at receiver comes available, you got to take a look.
Benjamin, my man, love catching up with you. I wish we could, when we got to get together, you know, we could talk about some positive stuff surrounding this team for once. I mean, that would be exciting. I look forward to that day.
Yeah, we'll have to do that. Hopefully that'll happen soon, and we'll get beers and discuss it.
Sounds great, my man. Appreciate you popping on with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care.
All right, Benjamin Albright, Broncos insider for KOA. Michael, got a little breaking news here today coming out. Cody Tucker, our Wyoming Cowboys insider, just shared this on his Facebook page. But University of Wyoming head football coach Craig Bohl announced on Monday that junior running back Titus Swen, that guy, stud, has been dismissed from the Cowboy football team for violation of team rules. So I don't know what that means. We're going to look into it. Maybe we can get Cody to pop on here in just a minute, but we'll see. 34 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Jenny Kavner from AT&T Sportsnet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Want to shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. They'll get, hey, listen, maybe, you know, it's cold nights. They're hitting us now. And you got to make sure that that heater is running. It's not got a funky smell 90% of the time. You want to be ready for when it gets even colder. So talk to our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. Maybe it's working fine now, but you just want to have that number ready to go because who knows? Something could happen down the stretch, and that's could be the worst case scenario for you. Late at night, heater goes out because you just didn't get it looked at because you hadn't had it looked at in a long time. 970-567-0798. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling. We did put a request out to Cody Tucker from 7220sports.com. He's our Wyoming Cowboys insider. And he basically just said, hey, full honesty, I'm trying to get the story myself right now. I don't want to get on without knowing the details. But we did just mention it. Titus Swen, the Wyoming Cowboys running back, stud running back, has been released from the team, I guess you could say. Just weird. We don't know what happened. It's the end of the season. He was dismissed. That's the right word. I want to get the right verbiage there. Dismissed from the University of Wyoming football team for violations of team rules. So what does that mean? And again, you know, the season didn't go, it didn't end the way the Cowboys thought. But this Wyoming Cowboys team, man, they shocked a lot of people. You know, they finished, ultimately got smoked by Fresno State, but they finished 7-5 overall. I don't think a lot of people had them pegged to go to a bowl game, let alone with a couple weeks left, actually have a chance to go to the Mountain West Conference Championship game. They lost to both Boise State and Fresno. Losing to Boise State knocked them out. And then, you know, the Fresno State game, the Bulldogs just went off. They beat Wyoming 30-0. That was right back to the beginning of the season for Wyoming, how they lost that one. That's what that game felt like anyway. Titus Swen had 24 carries for 75 yards in that game. He is a junior, so would he have come back for a senior year? He's probably good enough to get drafted. I would imagine he's good enough to get drafted. I would say second or third day. Late second day. He's a good player. Ran for 1,000 yards. I'm just curious to see what happened there. But Wyoming gets blown out by Fresno State. Hey, you know what, Michael? This officially happened. I was 29-31 in my picks. Because I pick CSU, Wyoming, CU, Air Force, UNC. Of course, I didn't have to do that last weekend. And then the Broncos. I went 4-1 this week, which finally got me over the 500 mark. I'm at 33-32. I was looking for perfection. All the Broncos had to do was beat a tanking Carolina team. And I couldn't get that. So, which leads us back to kind of the story of the day, is the Broncos losing to the Panthers. And after talking to several, you know, two of our insiders here, Benjamin, first time we had him on the show, great, great guest. We'll look to get him on the program more. He's getting the sense that this team's not going to move on from Hackett during the season. It's going to happen at the end. He did say he was going to, they'll be done with him at the end of the season. I know there's not anything necessarily to gain by it, but man, it's just getting worse. The Carolina game is the worst it's been. That's where I look at it and say, man, it's just so awful. It's so embarrassing. At least cut the head off the snake. And if it's bad, then you can go, well, yeah, but this wasn't the plan or isn't the plan. I don't know. Maybe there is nothing to gain from moving on from Hackett. I just thought we might see something. But you know, he's slated to have his press conference coming up at 3:30 today. So I'm sure they'll be discussing, you know, his future. I'm sure those questions will come up. But I would, yeah, I agree with Benjamin. I would put this thing at like 99.9%. He's gone. Now, I'm not even going to play the ifs game anymore. I'm tired of that. If he rattles off like four wins, it's not happening. This is now the big boy portion of your schedule. I just don't get it. I mean, I know the injuries are awful, and that certainly can be an excuse for some of this, but how do you go to the bye week? How do you go beat Jacksonville 21-17? You have a bye, and this is the product your offense puts on the field. 10, 16, and 10. Those are your point totals. I just don't get it. And I don't see, listen, I'm just going to say it. I still believe that Russell Wilson is a better quarterback than what we're seeing. Could be wrong. Maybe he, you know, father time took hold and boom, he hit a brick wall. But I also see the most incompetent head coach the Broncos have ever had. Anybody disagree with that statement? Josh McDaniels? No. Vic Fangio? No. Vance Joseph? No. Michael, well, yes.
I mean, Josh McDaniels did draft Tim Tebow. So.
He went 6-0 to start his career. He went 6-0. They scored points. They finished 8-8. You'd die for 8-8 right now, or 8-9 or whatever, for the Broncos. His first season, he finished 8-8. Now, second season was crap hit the fan. Listen, he shouldn't have been GM.
Oh, God,
but no. He was GM / head coach, and that was the problem. To me, that was the problem.
He shouldn't have been head coach either.
We'll see if he works out with the Raiders, but they just won 2 in a row, trying to salvage this season. He'll be back next year, first off, because of financial stuff. But now, okay, you got a couple of wins now. This is something to build off of. I'm still shocked that the Raiders are as bad as they are. I thought that, you know, maybe, I thought this entire AFC West was going to be good, though. I thought every team was going to be no worse than like 8 or 9 wins. I'm saying Hackett's way worse than Josh McDaniels. We didn't see these kind of issues. We saw general manager issues, like moving on from Jay Cutler and stuff like that. But we didn't see just this incompetent, not getting the play clock or the play calls in, and, you know, demoting a guy at halftime in Melvin Gordon and then promoting him to start, re-promoting him to start the very next week. It's just over and over again, these crazy things are happening. I didn't see that. I saw some of it with Vic Fangio. I saw some of it with Vance Joseph, confusion. But with Hackett, it's like it's a weekly basis, man. Every single week, something wacky goes on. And then yesterday, they had issues getting the play call back in. So we go right back to where we were a few weeks ago. So this is the worst I've ever seen. Is it fair to wonder if Hackett has ruined Russell Wilson? I mean, like, he's bad. He doesn't move like he used to, but come on, man. Listen, Russell Wilson deserves blame. He has not been good. And normally, you know, great quarterbacks can surpass bad coaching. Sometimes they can, you know, get at least make it look a little better than it is. So Russ was not great. Not tier one, not tier two, not tier three. He's not good. But nobody's good on this team. I mean, defense was good, but now you're kind of going, all right, we're starting to see some holes. They're fading a little bit. To be a great defense, Michael, you got to do it every single week. And I'm wondering now if this defense is coming back down to earth a little bit. We'll see. She's got Baltimore coming up. Dixon says, Brady, what exactly has Wilson done this year to show you he's actually better than how he was playing? Not really anything. But I don't see the play calling lend itself to his abilities. Like, dude, where's the read option? He did the read option once. I think it was against Indianapolis. And it worked. They're going to run out of shotgun so much. Read option once in a while. But you're just not seeing, you're not seeing the same kind of play calling that Seattle used, or even as Benjamin told us with Schottenheimer, when they wanted Russ to cook in 2020, which was just 2 years ago. He's cooking and he's lighting it up, and They're worried that their defense is getting tired because the opposite's happening. They're scoring too quickly. Dixon said he's playing like one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. I'm not saying you're wrong. But there is part of my brain that's just wondering if Hackett is such a backwards coach that the play designs, the play calling, all of it is just absolutely muddying all of the waters surrounding this team. He's not just a bad head coach. He could be so bad that he's actually making it worse. Like Vic Fangio was a bad head coach. Do I think he ruined football people by sitting down with them? He made them dumber when it came to football? I don't think so. I'm just wondering if Hackett is that guy. Like, Russ, have you tried this instead? And then that doesn't work. Your thoughts? 12:49 the time. Let's take a quick break. Don't forget, we have the Clay Millen Show, the final Clay Millen Show of the season presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, coming up at 1 o'clock. Very much looking forward to that. Don't go anywhere. The whole show continues on the other side. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. I don't know, maybe I'm crazy. Listen, Russ is bad. Russ is bad. Russell Wilson's bad. I'm just saying it. But there's part of me, again, maybe a good chunk of me that thinks that, well, Nathaniel Hackett's really bad. Why is Courtland Sutton so bad this year? 2 years ago, we all said Courtland Sutton might be on his way to being kind of an elite-type wide receiver. Or I said it, felt like it, he had the numbers. He gets the contract, he gets hurt. Then the next season, he's is it fair to say Courtland Sutton's awful this year? I mean, his numbers, if you just look at his numbers, they were okay Sunday, but he's dropping a lot of open looks that would have resulted in big time first downs throughout the last several weeks. Like, why is he that bad? Why, you know, Garrett Bowles, before he got hurt, he took a step back. Dalton Reisner, he hasn't been a world beater since he's been in the league, but he's been solid. This is probably his worst year. Tight ends non-existent for this team. Albert O was supposed to be better. He was awful. He doesn't even see the field anymore. So, what is it? Texter, I got some time here. In fact, the way he's always puppies and rainbows kind of feels like it's wearing on the team, almost the opposite effect of what you expect from leaders. Seems to be bringing everyone down more than uplifting them. Kind of like they're seeing Russ act like everything's okay when it's not. This guy can't see that we suck, so why should we follow him? Brady, you said you're okay with Russ being goofy and corny. Well, then you can't really complain that he didn't respond differently to the confrontation. Yeah, I can. I'm goofy and corny. Get in my face. See what happens. I may not beat you up, but I ain't going to relax. I absolutely can say that. I could be a fan of a guy being a good person and being a whatever, goofy dad jokes, whatever. But you get in his face, you got a defensive lineman getting in his face, I want you to spark up a little bit. You can absolutely be both. Promise you that, my man. 12:57 the time. Clay Millen coming up next. Man, it wasn't the season that they wanted. But it did end on a very positive note, and our guy Clay did something pretty cool, too. We're going to talk about all of that coming up. It's our final Clay Millen Show of the season, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Can't wait. Tune in. Text us. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.